Okay. You can hear me now?
Yeah.
Hey everybody, good afternoon. I'd like to thank Chad Apovitz for setting all this up. And we're going to be learning Hilchot Shmita for the next 5 weeks, 5 or 6 weeks, okay. And we have, hope everybody has the special volume of Tzur Ban Birabanan, and I'd like to thank the Mizrahi for co-sponsoring this program. And it's all for Lahadgil Torah, Lahadira. Of course, this is a Shemitah year, and we're going to learn that it's important to know some of the halachos of Shemitah, not only for 5782, but it applies to 5783 in some ways as well. Okay, we're going to explain that shortly, but first I want to discuss on the very first page in the pamphlet some of the reasons for the mitzvah itself. Okay, these sources you'll see have Hebrew and English. And you see, taking you down, you see source 1, 2, and 3. And these are the sources in the Torah itself for how we keep Shemitah and why we keep Shemitah. So there are 2 in Shmos, 1 in Vayikra. It's important to point out that the second source on this page, Sheshu Sivim Tavo, the Vayamashvi Tishbos, the Harishu Bakotzir Tishbos, a fundamental dispute between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Ishmael, whether this mitzvah is talking about Shabbos or Shemitah. Okay, the Meseches Shviyas, Laws of Shemitah, begins assuming that this pasuk is talking about Shemitah. Okay, because it says that you should refrain from plowing and harvesting on the simple pshat is Shabbos, because it says Sheshes Yomim, right? And on the seventh day, you refrain from harvesting and plowing. So, but the Gemara says that the Torah wouldn't have to tell me that because the Torah already said that we should watch it, that we should refrain from melacha on Shabbos. Why would I have to have a separate reference of not plowing and harvesting when I already know that melacha in general is forbidden? So it must be talking about something else, namely Shemitah. Now, harvesting is usually done after, it is the last part element of an agricultural process, and plowing is before the agricultural process. So the Gemara derives from this second pasuk on page 21, on our first page, it derives something known as Tosefes Kedusha. Tosefes Kedusha. The Kedusha of Shviyas is not only on the seventh year, some of it extends to the sixth year, and that's how the Masechet Shviyas begins, and some of it extends to the eighth year. Not just God's bracha, but the halachas of Shemitah, so that you can't already prepare for the Shemitah year in the sixth year, just disputes whether you have to stop plowing already in Shavuos, or whether you can plow further into the summer. But normative halacha today is you cannot plant trees before a Shemitah year, on Tu B'Av. Tu B'Av is the last day to plant trees, we have 30 days plus 14 days. It's a middle opinion in the Gemara, and that means 44 days before Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Shemitah year. It means that this Tosefes Kedusha, right? If you think that this is possibly talking about Shabbos, that's Rabbi Ishmael, then you must learn Tosefes Kedusha from something else, and that is derived from Yom Kippur. The Torah says to start fasting on the 9th of Tishrei, and the Gemara explains in Brachos Rosh Hashanah Yuma that there is Tosefes Kedusha that we derive from Yom Kippur, and that's why we keep Shabbos and Yom Kippur for more than 24 hours. So just want to put that out there. Okay, so these three psukim teach us 2 in Shmos, 1 in Vayikra, about the Kedusha of the Shemitah year. I will just tell you the short order is that the Torah says, I have given you this food, la ochla, for you and the animals of the field. These few words in the Torah animate a lot of the halachos of Shemitah. For instance, la ochla v'lo lahefseid. You have to eat the Shemitah products, but don't waste them. If you don't eat it, you're wasting them, which is why we have the pach Shemitah, and why if it does attain kedushas shviyas, you have to dispose of it if it's not completed on your plate. You have to take your bread and you have to sop up every bit of the food that's left on the plate. You can't throw out even a peel because it's edible, right? An orange peel, even some won't throw out an orange peel because an orange peel can be made into marmalade. It possibly can can waste of the food. In fact, the Gemara doesn't even allow, here's an example of halacha that can change over time, doesn't allow squeezing any fruit in the Shemitah year besides grapes and olives. Because in the time of the Gemara, squeezing any other fruit, an apple, an orange, a grapefruit, would constitute a waste of that fruit. That's not why people grew those fruits. Now, people grow oranges for the dafka, for the juice. So today, it's an example of turning back a drasha of the Gemara. Gemara says that making orange juice is a violation of la'acha b'lola hefseh. But today it wouldn't be, because it's not considered a hefseh today. The other drasha is la'achla b'lola schora, to eat but not to do business. Now, if you have your field, surely you can do in your field whatever your neighbor can do in your field, which is harvest some. So the Gemara says you can't harvest it to put it on the back of a wagon and take it to the marketplace for schora. But you can harvest it. But how else are you going to eat? You don't starve. You obviously have to harvest something. You just harvest it in an unusual way, not in a normal way that a farmer takes tractors and takes wagons and packs it in a wagon and takes it to the marketplace, or has a surveyor come and check out, or a middleman. You can't do that. Gemara makes an estimate that for 2 weeks, you can bring in food for 2 weeks for your family, but not to do schola. So they will see a 2 week rule that has to do with and we'll talk about there are other ways of other ways of making corporate ownership. So it's not too dissimilar of what we do with loans.
Right.
I transfer the loan to the Beis Din, I transfer the crops to the Otzer Beis Din. Okay, so now that takes us down to page 23. Okay. And machshava, the meaning of the mitzvah, which Meshech Chochma says that what he says can be true of any mitzvah, the Torah, of course, is, but the mitzvah gives us an opportunity to contemplate the incredible miracle involved with every single plant that grows. The Kodesh Baruch Hu should endow the earth to take this seed that decomposes in the ground, and then it produces something for me to eat. This is incredible. Now, the fact is, the Meshech Chochma knows that this can apply to any mitzvah involving the land. It can apply to Oral, it can apply to Chal, it can apply to Peah, it can apply to anything. But Shemitah is special because it involves resting from something. Just as Shabbos gives me a chance to look over and say, right? Shabbos is giving more meaning when I obey the beginning of the Pasuk, Sheshes Yamim Tavo, Sis Kumach Techo. And if I'm resting the whole week, what does the rest of Shabbos mean to me? But so that when I give the land its rest, it gives me a chance to step back and evaluate what amazing power did God invest the ground with. That's the Meshech Chochma. Now we have various additional reasons for the Shemitah, and the first it's incumbent upon us to look at what the Torah itself says. It says Ki li kol ha'aretz, source number 5 on page 24. Right, you see it? Right, this is what's written in the Torah. Okay? It's interesting that the Torah should refer to us as sojourners, we're children of God, not strangers of God. Yes, but when it comes to the land, is this a stark reminder of how strange we are from eternity. We all end up in the same place. Shemitah is a stark reminder of how much we share in common, right? Kisoki tikvas enosh rimah, says the Pirkei Avos. Our hope is the worm. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin actually asks flat out, right? My time at the Shviyasa. Right? What is the reason? Right? You see where the arrow is, right? My time at the Shviyasa. So I'm like, Kodesh Baruch Hu from Yisrael, Zeru Sheish, Yishmidu Sheva. Right? You hear a lashon that sounds a little like Sheisha Samim Tabo and Losis Malak Techab Yamashvi, right? Kadesha Tedu Sha'arat Shali. Right? Shabbos is given for more spiritual pursuits so that we can understand that God's role in creation, that's coming up too. Okay, so that God can tell us, listen, this is what I expect of you. I would compare. I said that any mitzvah tali ba'aretz can teach you this lesson. What's interesting is the Code of Hammurabi, which predates the Torah by over 500 years, has chapter 60 in it that a rule that looks very close to Oral. It says, when you plant a tree in my dominion, you for the first 4 years, whatever it produces is mine. In the fifth year, by my good graces, now you can have the permission to have the fruits of the tree. So Hammurabi wants to establish that it's only by my, he made it himself, God.
Yeah.
Right? So is it heresy to say that the Torah reacts to this? No. I mean, the Rambam says these kind of things all over the Moreh Nevuchim and even in the Mishnah Torah. Is that the Torah wants to establish, perhaps with a regulation that they were what we're familiar with from the ancient world from the time of Abraham, is that I want to establish that when you plant a tree, you do certain things with it, Orla and Revai, for 4 years, and establish my dominion over the land, which is this first explanation of Shemitah. Okay, and it comes out of the Torah itself. Right? The second is also comes out of the Torah, right? Which is source number 8. Right? You see it here. Okay. Right. So it says, people will say, where am I going to find the food to eat? Especially when the Shemitah overlaps the next year with the Yovel year. 2 years in a row, the 49th and the 50th, there is a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, about how to work that out. But still, the people are going to be especially concerned about what they're getting their food. They may drive up prices. So the Torah says something that no law code can ever chas v'shalom. Who can guarantee such a thing? But Hashem says, I will bless the year before, I'll bless the year after. And sort of like what happened in Egypt and, you know, Yosef's and Yosef's to Luch. So this is this observance, therefore, creates trust in the Luch Baruch. Right? Sort of like what the man was. Don't collect today for tomorrow. It's not going to work even. Right? It will work only for Shabbos. So you see, I have 2 days. I'm going to bless Friday with Lechem Mishnah. I'm going to bless the sixth year with Tua Mishnah, and that's that. Then inculcates trust, like the month. Everyone see? Okay. The Kli Yakar says this as well. In the next source, 10. Okay, you can see it here. Okay. Yosef Kasher Kabir Matzayadam. Is that when people have all the koach they need and everything is on the platter for them, they lose their trust, or they trust too much in themselves. Remember, I'll tell sometimes stories that last no more than a minute. But Hashem hears that there are two people in a certain European town getting married, two couples. One is the richest man in town. One is the poorest man in town. So the rich man's wife says, we need a band, we need a dress, we need a 10 things. And each time the husband says, spare no expense. And then the poor man's wife says, we need some food for the wedding, we need one band player. And the husband says, don't worry about the expenses, Hashem will take care of everything for us. We rely on Hashem. So when it comes to the night of the wedding, the angels ask Hashem, which wedding are you going to go to? I have to go to the poor man's wife because the rich man didn't invite me. The poor man who keeps saying, no, Hashem will take care of me. That man invites God into his life.
Isn't there like sort of quiet of him, like you don't have to do anything?
Yeah, of course, but I'm just telling the story. But in Kol Kates Bitachon, that I see Shabbos after Shabbos after Shabbos, I'm taking off. Right? The busiest time for some in some communities is a Saturday business. Right? But I'm taking off, and I see that. So in Kol Kates faith. Okay, the third explanation here, which is Rambam says in the book, I'm surprised that it's the Rambam, the one that says this, is that there's a socioeconomic welfare benefit involved, and no one can deny that exists for Shabbos too. The man yonuach, the avdecha, b'amaspa, the shorcha, everybody needs a rest. Okay, so there's a socioeconomic welfare benefit to the Shemitah here as well. It levels the playing field.
That's okay. For the loan, for the food part, or for the Shemitah supplement?
For the, it could be both. Just that Hillel, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein used to bemoan, Hillel took care of the banker. Right? The banker will get his loan back from the farmer. But are we taking care of the farmer? Right? So we took care of the banker with the principal. But we can take care of the farmer with the Otzer Beis Din. We'll see. The farmer needs to take loans out to invest in the earth, and hopefully he gets his investment back by what it produces. But if he can't take what it produces to the marketplace, how is he paying the loan back?
That's always the problem with agriculture. You have to get the loan before you do the planting. You're going to be able to clear out the equipment. So you can be devastated if you turn it to a bad harvest.
We'll talk about that, of course, as we go on. So that there are agricultural considerations. Don't be surprised that that's also in the Rambam. Okay, it's here, number 12. And that's, I'm sure you've heard about the earth being overused and overworked. The earth also needs a rest, just like we do. Okay, I think the Dust Bowl of the 30s combined with the Great Depression to it's for a lot of people, if you recall.
Well, that's what we're about.
Okay, so the Sefer HaChinuch now also discusses that it reinforces emunah. It becomes like Shabbos. I've been saying that all along. It's sort of a little bit like what we've been saying here, but that's this source here. You'll see it on the English side as well. That it reinforces not just the trust in Hashem, but the belief in creation. That the earth is endowed with a certain power. Right? Those powers all come from the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he expects from us certain mitzvahs, certain behaviors. And even if that behavior had nothing to do with the land producing more, it's worthwhile to keep it. But comes the Rambam to say it does help the land produce more. But see, I'm not just putting a magical juice into the ground guts. No, this is the way I made the earth. That when you give it this rest, it's going to produce better for you. Okay? Very important additional point is the Sefer HaChinuch. This is one of my favorite explanations of Shemitah, but it's certainly not limited to Shemitah. It's that it creates Vatranut. Levater. Vatranut is where, by not charging interest, by leaving a corner of my field undone, by not returning to the dropped sheaves, by not returning to the dropped bundles, like a chip for paya, by giving tithes, trumas and maestros, again, by giving challah, by giving the first shearing of my sheep, by giving all these priestly gifts, Levite gifts, poor gifts. So all these things, the 30 or 40 such mitzvahs, create a vatranut where I'm open with my funds. I worked hard for this. Why should I? Right. So Shemitah is the ultimate in vatranut. You just watch everything just lie fallow. It's amazing.
It's also like that. Like extreme libertarianism. Like it's everything's mine. I have no obligations to anybody else. Like, you can't claim those. Absolute property rights.
What's fascinating now is the way the world has gone is that this has become like an avant-garde kind of observance by secular Israelis as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, rest the land, you feel like that there's an idea of just get back to some basics and let less technology and this, it's just letting it rest. It speaks to that group. It's a good way to be cured. Right? So finally, the last explanation is exactly what I just said. So over the years, we've talked so many times about this very concept, and it's in Ibn Ezra. It's just, I want to read a little bit of this Ibn Ezra with you, please. Okay, he says, Ra'inu ki shnat ha-shmita dome l'shabat, ki gam hi shvi'it b'shanim. We did have that, to be sure. So it's that of Shabbat. Tziva Hashem shekru ha-Torah b'tchila ha-shana neged ha-anashim v'ha-anashim v'ha-tav. V'mar ha-tav l'man yishmu l'man yilundu v'shanyet. He connects he says b'tchila, we do it at the end of the Shvi'it year. But that Sukkot, this coming year, It's a cute little chag. Sukkot is called Chag HaAsif. But it's not an Asif this year. There's nothing to Asif. So what is the Asifa instead?
Okay,
mitzvah that he's referring to here. That everybody should gather, you get it? There's no ingathering of crops, but it's getting an ingathering of people. I think that maybe what the Ibn was saying is that just like Shabbos is a time for this happening. What shul has as many people any time but Shabbos, as much as Shabbos? Shabbos is your showcase. So too, Shemitah becomes a showcase to bring everybody together, men, women, and children, to in order to celebrate this entire year, completion of this year. Okay? And Rav Kook writes similarly here, continuing at 16. Okay? Hayachid mitna'er mechaye achol, prakim krovim, chol shabbat. We are moved to move away from the mundane when I kind of contemplate this extra time with my family. This Rashi explains in Dafta Zayin and Sefer Beit says the Neshama Yitzhak. You would be incredibly kotz b'chayecho if you spent 3 hours on a Tuesday afternoon having lunch and singing and joking and playing games and talking around the table and having everyone around the table to introduce themselves. You would never be able to do such a thing on a Wednesday morning, right? But on a Shabbos afternoon, you have time to get home at 12 o'clock. You know, right? Some people more than others, but you could sit around the table and sing songs. Get out of here. It's Tuesday. I got to get out of here. Right? So this gives you this opportunity to sit back and maybe, you know, maybe this year I'm gonna talk, learn Seder Nezikin this year. I'm gonna have time. You know what? It wastes so much time. It goes very quickly in front of a television screen, but when you're really putting some effort in, I can't believe how much I accomplished in these 2 hours.
But also, it's interesting because you have everybody available, like your neighbors, and you wouldn't normally.
And right, that creation of a level playing field, where you know, the rich may be worried about all the money he's not making, but still, we're overall on the level. Okay, so the next question that we're dealing with is Shemitah still a Torah law now? Nowadays. Okay. That's the next thing. Okay, it's on page 30. Okay. So the reason why we might think that there's a question to ask here is because the Torah says, Ki tavo el ha'aretz, sharonim osein lachem, you come to the land and then keep the Shemitah laws. Now we obviously did come to the land, but we were also exiled from the land. So the basic question is, Ki tshol shayta, ki tshol asiba. The land was dedicated and sanctified twice, once by Yahushua, once by Ezra. So if you hold Kitchel Shait the Kitchel Asad Lava, that it was sanctified in perpetuity, then there's nothing to talk about. Nothing changed. Right? But if you hold that Kitchel Shait below Kitchel Asad Lava, which is the Rambam's Psaq, but it's interesting is that the Rambam splits his Psaq. He holds that in some areas of Kedusha, Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha never left. And in some areas of Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha did leave, having to be reignited by Ezra. And then Ezra took areas that didn't complete all of the areas that Yahushua was Kodesh. Plus, Yahushua went about the Kibush. It was a conquest. Ezra was just given permission by Persians to establish a community. So he didn't establish all the way up the coast, up and down the coast. Some places, even Ashkelon and Ashdod, or certainly up north, near Akko and Chasiv, all the way up north, if the Gemara says, in Sechah Shviz, didn't attain Torah Kedusha for Shviz.
The areas discussed in Ashdod, Ruvain.
I'm talking about Rice now. Because Jerobon, they kept Shemitah in all the surrounding areas. Chala, Trinisamaisus, and a lot of, it's not, never Bikurim, but in what would say, Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and parts of Egypt. So these are all places that Mitzvah we kept. But that's the question here. And as you're looking around, I'll tell you the full disclosure right away, is that throughout Masechet Shviyos, you see Yushamishviyas, you see areas where there are leniencies, and the Gemara says, Hanach l'shmita b'zman hazeh d'rabam. So you have to be careful. I mean, I'm giving away some of what we're going to be doing in the next weeks. So we have to be careful, maybe selling the land, which may be a violation of the Torah law, in order to keep Shemitah, which is the Rabbanan law. Who wants to do that? Right? Okay, but that's the Rambam says that certain areas of the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, the Kedusha never left, didn't leave by the Romans either. Right? So some people still don't want to go in our life. Some of our salvation was very lacking on these things. Okay. The Rambam here, you can Guy and Shani, you could look in these sources 18, 19, 20 over why we might say that some areas of Israel the Kedusha remained, but in other areas it depends on human activity and Ezra redoing it, in which case it was done differently, because Ezra did not occupy the full areas that Yahushua did.
What Rambam say about West Jerusalem? You got West Jerusalem. Part of
so the Kedusha of Yerushalayim for that part might involve Kedusha for Meister Sheni. Where can you meet Meister Sheni? Can you meet Meister Sheni in the whole greater Yerushalayim right. of it, or just in the old city? I was put in Meister Sheni on my last trip, but we don't eat Meister Sheni. You have to put it not in this last trip, but the one right before COVID. Okay, this is the basic thrust of the dispute, and there are three opinions. One is that it remains a Doraisa today, Shemitah Bizman Hazeh, as the Rambam's basically the Rambam's opinion. The Rambam has a maximalist opinion on a lot of these mitzvahs that's in these parts. The Rambam says you have to tithe whatever the ground produces, the Doraisa.
It's a
big chiddush against Beferish Gemaras. I mean, the Mar Brachas Beferish says badly that obviously he's rejecting about this pasuk of Yushami. Yushami derives from this pasuk Aser to Aser is called Tfuah Zaracha. It's in Yisrael Yinasadeh Shana Shana. So Tfuah Zaracha means peas, means carrots. The minimalist opinion is that you only tithe grain, wine, and oil. There's a middle opinion that includes grapes and olives.
You're right.
That's correct. Right. Okay, so the Rambam paskins that Shemitah's Doraisa Bizman Hazeh. Most Rishonim paskin like Shita Rebbe in the Gemara, and that it's Rabbanan Bizman Hazeh.
Everywhere
in Israel, yes, and that's the opinion that manifests itself. I mentioned quite often. Then you have a few Rishonim, and you can see here on page 37, if you want to look down over these opinions right here. And you see, then you have a few opinions here, and it's on the left. You see the Sefer Trumas and the Meiri. They passed in that Shemitah is not even your opponent. It's not. What's missing? Well, that's in his time, but we're coming back to that for sure. He says, Kitavo el Haaretz. So a lot of the mitzvahs that Tzuyos Haaretz begins by saying, when you come to the land, do this, 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 and this. So when Miri lived, there were hardly anyone in Israel. We say Shemitah's Doraisa when there are 200 Jews in Israel, even a few thousand. But now, I believe we're coming on soon where there are. There are more Jews in Israel than outside of Israel. I think right now there are more Jews in Israel than any one place.
Yeah.
Talking about the whole world. We're coming up to that. So, but we don't have representations of the tribes. So that's a problem with Yovel. So that's the other issue, is that many posts can hold that if, when Yovel is not observed, Midraisa, Shemitah is not observed in Midraisa. Shemitah is dependent on Yovel. What is Yovel dependent on? So that is a high benchmark. It needs to cross and draw the Chol Yosheva. Chol Yosheva means you need representation of all the tribes there. We're just Jews. We're just Yehuda. Maybe Binyamin. Maybe Shimon, because Shimon and Sevi Yoshua was already assimilated into Yehuda. Maybe it's Kohan and Levim. But I don't know if there's Zvon and Naphtali and Dan and Asher. But, right. So these diminishment of the tribes means that Yovel is not observed Doraisa, therefore Shemitah follows.
But how did Emma become, like, where they are, it's kind of hard to imagine. They haven't completely assimilated.
Yeah,
at this point.
Yeah. That's been waiting for maybe some kind of revelation.
Kind of some DNA markers.
Rashi at the end of his Yeshayahu, where the prophet says that I'm going to choose Gerim to serve me in the temple. Rashi says, we're talking about it. You can't serve God in the temple unless you're Kohen, and the Ger can be Kohen. So Rashi writes that there will be something at the time where we'll be able to measure a person by something inside of a person to determine which tribe they're from. So we do. We have. I think we have isolated the Kohanic gene.
Well, it's a guess.
Okay. So anyway, so this is where the rests. Okay, the Tosefes Shvi is page 38. I started the shiur with this. Okay. So Madahavahave. I don't think we're so interested right now in Harisha. That's for 7 years from now, right? But we are interested in Tzira. Because not just as every Shabbos is celebrated on 3 days, starts on Friday and ends on Sunday, every Yom Kippur is celebrated for 3 days. It starts on the 9th and ends on the 11th. Right? So we get the extra hour and some minutes from that remaining time. So too, Shvius, every Shvius is, you know, starts in the 6th year and ends in the 8th year for some of its laws. It's known as Tosefes Shvius.
Is it the entire 8th year way?
No, and the 6th year, while the Masechta begins by going back to Pesach or Shavuot, they celebrate Shaman, but Rabbi Gamliel curtailed that. He said, no, it's just right before Shavuot and Shoshana. And so here, but here is the difference between, let's say, a Shemitah Inyan and a Shabbos Inyan. And that's really what these next two pages are talking about. The Torah does not allow us to plant on Shabbos, and it does not allow us to plant on Shemitah. But they're two very different things. I'm not allowed to plant on Shabbos. The land isn't allowed to be planted in Shemitah, and Afkamim. I can put a pit in the ground 1 minute, 1 second before Shabbos and not be violated on Shabbos. Right? And my kaling can lead to planting. I can set up a This you shouldn't do this because of Marisayim and for the people who are walking there. But if it's beyond the Tum or if it's on a property where no one's walking Mamish at all, you can set up a sprinkler to be and the clock puts it on and it's watering the plants on Shabbos. It's about you, not about the object. But on Shemitah, it's the land that needs to be rested. Yeah, there might be some issues regarding your activity, but it's the land that needs to be rested. Okay, so you can't plant right before Shemitah. You can't plant until, and this is long, you know, Chachamim. They've estimated how long it takes when you put something in the ground, right? So that's, I gave you the share before. If you put something in the ground after two ba'ah, 44 days, goodness gracious. So some of the activity you did on the 17th above is happening after Rosh Hashanah,
right,
to make this thing grow, and therefore you violate. It's amazing.
It's like Bishop is like this because it's in the Kaf and Chetzah.
Right. So Shabbos is on Gath.
So
Shemitah is more in the Chetzah.
If you want. So, but is it land that's owned by Jews, or
so that's going to be you're jumping ahead to maybe to
well, I wasn't thinking about just
it's a question of whether Yesh Koach Bidei Akum Lafkia Eretz Yisrael Mikdushasa.
Right,
does a Gentile have the power to remove the Kedusha Eretz Yisrael by owning it? Forget about what they let us do. Time these sectors were being written, there was sometimes more than others a very heavy thumb on us. It's the Gemara in Sanhedrin in the third paragraph about that was Sofrei Shvius and Osvei Shvius because the hegemons and the local rulers made us give a certain amount of our crops for the local
the shareholders.
So how about we're going to say, oh, I'm sorry, this isn't getting anything. Kill you. I mean, that's why, by the way, the main sugya in Shas Bavli Yerushalmi, you may know some in Bavli, Sofim, and Sanhedrin, but of dying on Kiddush Hashem is in Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi Shvi'is. Because of the, some Jews said, no, I'm not going to work on Shvi'is. What are you going to do? I'll give you double next year, but don't make me do it this year. So the Gemara gets off, you know, and tells you when you should do and you shouldn't do it. Sometimes they made them use a certain type of glass for something, and it's like, you'll see, colored glass, white glass. Anyway, that is called this. So this is the Tosefta Shvi'is that I began the shiur with, and it is some of the sources that it is. Okay. So there are three opinions, whether it's 3 days, 14 days, or a whole month, and we pass in the middle sheet, which is 14 days plus a month. So it gets either 2 months, 33 days, or 44 days, and we pass in the middle one, which takes up all these sources just to come to the conclusion that it's indeed 44 days. So if you like to go to Israel and plant crops year before Shemitah year, you have to refrain already from. Okay. Right. Okay. So the question of waiting for the majority of Jews, representation of all the tribes, all the Jews is something that it might be a little different between different halachas. Chala, Truma. You know, and it's an interesting historical differences. The Gemara says that when we came to Israel, we did not keep Shemitah right away. We didn't keep it for two cycles, during Kibush Haaretz and Chulul Haaretz. They didn't give Trumas Maisvos during those 14 years. But they did give Challah. So each case, you have to see, what is an example of custom? Is it something philosophical? So each case has a difference. Okay, I'm just saying is that it's very worthwhile, you know, in the Shemitah year to become familiar with all the Masechtos and Mizraim and what they would the basic thrust. So then page 43 is what Chad just mentioned about the Chetz and the Gavra. Mm-hmm. See what it says: to the agricultural prohibitions of Shemitah apply to man or to the earth. Okay, so the short answer that I just gave is that it applies more to the earth than to man. But I inserted a sentence in there that some of it is on the Gavra as well, but certainly to a much greater extent than what we're not supposed to do on Shabbos. On Shabbos, it may be a Marasayan issue, but it's not on the Chefza like in Shemitah. Now it's important to mention a fundamental rule that of what it is that we're prohibited from doing on the ground. There's a lot of things you do on the ground. Okay. So here is first I'll give you a review on page 48 of this Indian. See, I'm with this chart in 48. We have Rashi and Tosfos that it applies to the earth. Planting just before Shemitah is forbidden because of the concern that the seed will take the earth during the Shemitah year, and I just got finished telling you that. The Rambam and the Ramban says it applies to man. Planting just before Shemitah is forbidden only because of Marasayim. Makes no difference what is actually transpiring in the earth.
Is there a similar concept of Lachash and Sechel Gufa?
Ah, we're going to get that. I would tell you that not only it's a long distance in the Shabbos also, but it applies to so many Masechtos. Because, you know, there's something called Dabar Shini Miskavim. I'm doing A, which is a permitted thing, but it may lead to B. That's called Dabar Shini Miskavim. When it must lead to B, that's known as a Pesik Resha, right? So Rabbi and Rabbi famously say in Shas that Rav Shimon would agree that if it's a Pesik Resha, of course, it has to be usher because it's not a davar shini miskavim anymore. It's willy-nilly, it's going to happen. But then the question is that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon also argue about Melacha Shem Tzvichah L'gufa. Rather, Rabbi Shimon says that Rabbi Shimon's godliness is mutter, but Melacha Shem Tzvichah L'gufa is putter. Melacha Shem Tzvichah L'gufa, the classical example in Shas, is digging a pit, but you just need the earth. You don't need the pit. Melacha Shem Tzvichah L'gufa is you digging the pit because you want the pit. Melacha Shem Ein Tzvichah L'gufa is, no, I don't care about the pit, I just want the dirt. But wait a second. How can Rabban Abaye say that Rav Shimon would agree that a psigresha is chayav, not just asur, but chayav? And Potter means asur, right? It's chayav. When he holds that Melacha Shem Tzvichah L'gufa is Potter, isn't every Melacha Shem Tzvichah L'gufa a psigresha?
Yeah.
Isn't it a psigresha that I didn't
think? It's
there. What Melacha is in that sense?
The only way to do it is
what Melacha is in that sense. Right. There's a famous Tosfos in all the Tosfos is Kasha, all the Shas, really. Fachim, Yuma with the tzirif of the metal bar that they put in the mikvah on Yom Kippur to keep the water warm for the Kohen Gadol, and then the kibui, the tzigresha, the kibui on the Mizbeach. It's all over Shas, these big Tosfos, and they take up the whole page. Then when it comes to Shabbos, there's an additional point, the Meleches Masheres, because it commemorates creation in the Mishkan. So, if it's Meleches Machsheves, that there's something about your open intention that may actually have make a difference here. And then we have to do in the Lomdus is to see if that transfers over to Shmi. Yes, yeah, okay, good, because that's going to, I'll tell you, it's much, much lower threshold than Hilchos Shmita because of this fundamental point that I want to make now. Is that Shmita is only the Oraisa, the Gemara says, for the things that are mentioned in the Torah. If it's not mentioned in the Torah, it's the Rabbana.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so very few things are mentioned in the Torah. Really only plowing, if that pasuk earlier is talking about Shmita, source number two originally. And it just talks about harvesting, really. And it's Ria and Sira anything else that improves the land is maybe Jehomos and Rabban. I'll give an example of psikresha. The Gemara has a lot told about not removing stones from the field. Stones prevent the plowing, and certainly prevents the seeds. So you're not allowed to remove stones because removing stones is a tolda of harisha, preparation for Shabbos, but also it helps the land. But if you have a field in the Shemitah year and you want to build a fence, you ever see fences made of stones?
Sure.
And plowed, no thin stones, powder one on top of the other. You're allowed to do that in the Shemitah year. So you go to your field and you take away all the hundreds and hundreds of stones to build this fence. But isn't it a psigresha that the field has been prepared for sowing, right? So the Gemara says psigresha is mutter under abundance in the Shemitah. By the way, psigresha is not mutter under abundance in the Shemitah.
How does that apply to certainly it's a hefker for people to?
Certainly, it's a psigresha to Nichole. He's getting the. Gemara talks even more so about you have 1,000 sheep. Those sheep are fertilizing the ground for you.
Right.
So the ways that you're supposed to do this and ways that you're not allowed to do this. You'll see.
What if I went to my neighbor's field and took his stones? Like I'm going to build a wall, so I'm not benefiting my own field. Or does that matter as long as you're benefiting
the land? So that's the Tosfos and Shabbos talks about. It's you're watering your hands, like washing your hands on top of grass. That's a psigresha.
Right, right.
Oh, but it's not his grass. It's someone else's grass. But the Tosfos discusses psigresha of the Lone Nichol. The Aruch, famously. The Aruch. Tosfos disagree with the Aruch's full scope. But But that's okay. Let me just get a little on this now. But I want to close today's shiur with the last topic that I wanted to cover today. We're on topic. I wanted to get to 54, 51 in the review. Is that women in the midst of Shemitah, what's the Hava mean? So, but the question though is that the positive commandments of Shemitah are also tied into negative commandments. Right? Like on Shabbos. There's a positive command, rest on Shabbos. How do you rest on Shabbos? By doing nothing. That's a very strange positive commandment. It's almost like the mitzvah of Avinisim is not Shoseichon when you kill it. Mama says you're not going to actually do something positive to self-flagellation or listening to music you hate or whatever, something like that. So this positive command has the trappings of a negative. Right? I'm just putting that out there that there are those who you see, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, who has this great commentary to the Yerushalmi, and he writes, this is a separate book, Derech Emunah, it's on the Rambam's Roim, that the accepted halacha is that women are obligated in all rules pertaining to Shemitah. Good. In other words, women also have to mafkir their fields. Right? So he says, because it's not actually time-bound. And it's true, it's once a year, once in 7 years, right? But since the fruits that grown in a Shemitah year maintain their Kedusha forever, it's Kedusha Shvius. There's no pidyon on Kedusha Shvius. It's an amazing halacha.
Oh, yeah.
No pidyon. It's pidyon on in fact everything else, but it's no pidyon. If you violate the Torah by selling and doing sorrow with Kedusha Shvius, what it's sold for becomes Kedusha. Let's say you have 1,000 peaches, Shemitah peaches, and you barter that for 100 rings of herring. That herring now has Kedusha Shvius.
Now it's worth it.
If you sell the herring for 16 containers of Krispy Kreme, the Krispy Kreme now is Kedusha Shvius, but the herring lost it. But the original Kedusha Shvius maintains.
Does that continue indefinitely?
Go all the way down. This is only true about Avodah Zarah, Hekdesh, and Shemitz.
Can you do that actively to make sure that you're not going to be destroying?
This is why it's so important not to deal in this Kedusha Shvius, and going down the line, really, it's only food. If you sell Shemitah products for a tie, the tie doesn't become Kedusha Shvius.
So if you buy this inadvertently,
right. So you see the Sefer HaChinuch said that it acts like a non time bound mitzvah. Here the Menachos Chinuch says, and this is down on page 50. See, it's 50, it's right here. It's in English. I'll read it. Women are also obligated in this positive mitzvah, even though it's a positive time-bound mitzvah. Similarly, all the rules of the sabbatical year, there is no difference between men and women. Menachos Chinuch writes that according to the Chinuch, when there is a negative commandment together with a positive commandment, the positive commandment is also stricter and women are obligated. Okay, that sounds like Chametz, that sounds like Shabbos, etc. And the Gemara usually talks about the association of Atzei. Women have to eat matzah and maror on Pesach and do all the mitzvahs that say at the Seder, as if here's the Tis Mitzrayim and even Chalosas, even though they're all time bound for sure, because they're bound with the Chametz prohibition. There's no such special prohibition by Sukkot, so women are exempt from Nesrog and Sukkot. Okay? All right, so on between page 51 and 54, you have a review of everything we did. Okay, so that's exactly what I wanted to cover today. So thank you, everybody.
Books available online and Amazon.
Books available online, Amazon, and through our office.
Office.
Thank you again, Chad, for setting everything up. And we'll be back here next Wednesday.